Hello and welcome to Bonded by Bravo. I am Amy and I am joined with my co-host Jenna.
Hi guys.
And we're excited. I think we almost got the hang of this thing, this podcasting thing, in terms of sound and how we're going to sound in our recordings, but we'll see. I think we're headed in the right direction. But we wanted to start off this week just with some recaps. I know the last few weeks we've been talking a lot about Vanderpump, but don't get it twisted. Jenna and I have many opinions about all of the other Bravo shows. So I'm going to pass it over to Jenna to get us started with some of our recaps. Jen.
Cool. So I think just the first thing, we would be a little remiss to not talk briefly about the Lindsay and Danielle situation and just Danielle's overall reaction at that engagement. It was really something. I know it seems like a lot of people have gone into this season really expecting to be on Danielle's team because we know Lindsay, she's great for reality TV, but can be a little unhinged. And Danielle has always sort of been, I guess, a voice of reason if you're choosing someone in that cast. And her reaction, I think, was a direct result of her relationship more with Robert than it was with Lindsay and Carl. What do you think?
Okay, so when we talked the other week about our most favorite Bravo characters, we didn't talk about our least favorite. And Lindsay is probably one of my least favorite. Like, her approach to everything, the way she acts with guys, it's always so much like every guy's her best friend. And for you to say that Danielle's rational blows my mind. Up until now, Danielle has literally just been Lindsay's side piece. For lack of better, like, she's just been her, like, mouthpiece. That's what I mean, not side piece, mouthpiece. And this season, it's the first time I feel like we actually saw Danielle. I mean, in the beginning of the season, I was really like, okay, look at Danielle, like, not going to stick up for Lindsay like she does every other season. Look at Danielle going, you know, she's not going to bat. She's going to actually say something different other than, you know, living in Lindsay's asshole. But watching that reaction last week, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Like, complete projection.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, though, that you say the thing about Danielle. Like, I don't even know if I always thought Danielle was the most, like, reasonable one in the house. I have just heard that repeat it time and time and time again. I feel like every Bravo podcast I listen to has, like, sort of explained her in that way. And I feel like maybe some of that is coming through. I was never really Team Danielle or not Team Danielle. Totally see what you're saying about Lindsay. She is completely irrational. I guess great for TV, but yeah, never has been one of my favorite. I feel like in the seasons before, every time I would see her on the screen, I would kind of be like, oh boy, like, I would, like, brace myself for what's to come. This season, though, I just feel like I really respect that she, I mean, I know she's not, like, completely sober for Carl, but I feel like she's really, I guess I have a soft spot for her because I just have people in my life who've had addiction, and having someone like right by their side, I think has proved to be really, really helpful. But
and that's the other thing that I'm struggling with the fact that so many people have such strong opinions about, I think Carl's like late 30s, Lindsay's late 30s. They've been dating for a year. They both know what they want. What does it matter when they get engaged? Like, who cares? Why? Where's the hate coming from? And I think maybe there's some backstory we're missing or something we're missing, but Danielle's reaction the day of the engagement and crying and saying, like, oh, my best friend, you didn't include me as your best friend. Like, I've had so many of my closest friends get engaged and never once did I know a single thing about it. Didn't know a single thing about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, it's between two people. Really, and when it feels right.
Right.
And I think the other thing that is so bizarre that they don't, I mean, Carl and Lindsay obviously mention it when they're kind of doing a little bit of press, but they have they kind of have the most ideal foundation for a lasting relationship. I mean, they've been
friends for friendship. So long.
They've seen each other in different phases of their lives, both good and bad. And the fact that they've, you know, come together and have really, you know, it could be a really big sacrifice to take that next step with someone you consider a best friend, because if it all kind of crumbles, well, then lost your partner and your best friend. Danielle's reaction was just so uncalled for. It was completely unfair. And I just think, you know, you don't have to be part of the planning to be happy for your friend. I cannot imagine. I was really trying to think of having those kinds of feelings towards a friend who got engaged. I am always just so over the moon for any of my friends that got engaged, right. And no other feelings have ever seeped in.
And I think to that point, why would you expect to be included in that conversation? Oh, I'm going to propose to your best friend. Like, I would never in a million years expect to be included in that conversation. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't. I don't even know where it comes from. I think it's...
Well, especially because the weeks leading up to the engagement, she's saying how much she does not agree with the relationship at all.
Right. So, like, you're already a hater. I'm not going to include you to just hate on it even more. And yeah. Her reaction at that damn engagement party, I was screaming at my TV. Like, the one girl who checked her, good on her. Yeah. Like, this is all your best friend has ever wanted. And because you're feeling left out, like, you can't compartmentalize that and have a conversation on another day and not cry because you weren't included. It just all seems so selfish. And then when you take a step back and look, you're like, oh, shit's going down in your relationship. Mm-hmm. So you're obviously projecting. I mean, that's what it was. It was projecting.
Yeah. I mean, and kind of, a little insider knowledge, don't date a chef. I mean, even anyone in the bar industry, so often we just date, for the longest time, you kind of just date people who you work with or who are also in the industry because they're working those late hours, they're waking up late in the day, their day isn't really even started until, 2 p.m. They're not getting home till middle of the night. And then their days off are really typically probably a Monday and Tuesday. Like, those two schedules for a chef on his level, and then her being kind of like the typical Monday through Friday, there is just no way that was ever going to work. It's impossible.
How could it? And how, I mean, thinking about like you still being in the industry, how do you make that work in your relationship? Like when you have conflicting schedules, like what's the secret? What do you do?
I mean, really for a long time, it was a little bit of not a struggle, but it required a lot of
adjustment,
like, kind of planning, and it made it a little exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have to be honest, I have sort of worked up to a point in my, I guess, career where I make sure that I am Monday through Friday at this point, with weekends here and there. I would say in the last 3 months has been the first time in 15 years that I have not worked a weekend for that many weekends straight. But yeah, before that, it was challenging, especially like I remember going, we would go to Dolores Park and I would just watch everyone have the best time and be like, great, I got to leave at 4 o'clock. Like, it sucked. And weekend planning, like that was really tricky. It was
When do you get your quality time in? When are you spending? Yeah. And you can see, I feel like you can see the cracks in their relationship this go around. Like this year, you can definitely see the cracks in her and Robert's relationship. And to me, completely, completely projecting. I'm excited to see the season finale and kind of see where that goes. Even more so the reunion. I saw in some of the blogs that there was a semi-reconciliation. Yeah, but what are some other things that are happening in Bravo Land?
So I guess the trailer for Roni dropped today. To be honest, I have still never seen all of the seasons of Roni.
What? I think I've watched, like, I can't believe that. I'm just like shocked.
I watched the first, I think like 4 or 5 seasons, and then took a pretty big break. And then when I watched again, it was like that really weird 2021. And Leah just got so under my skin. I was like, I just can't even do this. And then after that, it fell off. And I guess I really probably could go back and rewatch some of that now. But I am excited for these new younger ones. If you think about it, the OG Roni cast was probably around that age anyway. When they started, I know people are like, I don't want my housewives to be born in the 90s. I get it, but it's like they are housewives. They live in New York City and they probably have really cool, complex lives.
When I saw this trailer, I thought the exact opposite. I said, I don't want these women on my screen. I don't care who they are. I want Sonia on my TV. I want Luann. I want Dorinda. I don't give a living, you know what, about who these people are. I just feel like they don't seem interesting. All they did was show their faces. They gave us none of the dirt. That it's funny, the one woman, I think her name's Jenna, actually, I've seen her walking on the streets around here. She obviously sticks out as she's very tall, and it's just, I think part of it is like, now that I live in New York, it takes not to sound cheesy, but one of the reasons I moved to New York was like seeing all this cool housewife stuff. And now you're bringing on these new women, you know, that to me, like, it's kind of like the allure is gone. The like mystique around who they are is gone. And I don't know if that's because I live in New York and maybe they're one of the reasons I came here just from seeing part of that or what it is. But I don't know. I'm not excited at all.
But you know what's interesting about that is like the Summer House crew lives in New York and they're young and they're not like that. I mean, other than Paige, I really do love Paige, but none of them are that interesting or that accomplished. They're accomplished because of the show, I guess. And we enjoy watching them. Like, we tune in every single week to watch Amanda do literally nothing, to watch Paige and Sierra lay in bed, and we're watching every week.
But you know what I think it is? And I was thinking this too, because realistically, if there wasn't this Lindsay and Danielle thing going on, what would be the storyline of Summer House in general? Like, it's to me, so many of these shows that have been on for 5, 7, 8, 10 years are running its course. And they're really, really searching for storylines. And it's like when we first started watching, okay, cool, 10 years you're in. But when we think of like TV shows aren't running for 10 years anymore. It's like they need to revamp these characters and almost start a new show. So maybe that's what new Roni is going to bring us. And maybe that's what we need in Summer House and Vanderpump after this. Again, when we get into Vanderpump, last week was supposed to be the finale episode. If that's all I watched for the last however many weeks was, and last week was the finale episode, I wouldn't. What would there have been? It would have been nothing. It would have been a nothing season. And so I'm seeing that happen in a lot of the other shows. And, you know, maybe this is what Roni needs. Maybe it's what it needs.
Yeah. And I think the other thing to know, I mean, one of the, you know, we know Vanderpump Rules had its flop error.
Yeah.
But we have to remember that those people were actually friends. And I know that some of the Summer House cast, like, knew each other. I know Lindsay and Kyle did or whatever. But, like, the Summer House idea is for people who are we did it. We spent our summers down the shore. Like, you grow out of that. You really do. You don't.
And
like,
I think
I was done going down the shore by the time I was 25. Like, it's just, it gets tired after a while. You're kind of doing the same thing all the time. You're seeing the same faces all the time. And then when you get partnered up, like, I can't imagine spending my summers down the shore with a boyfriend. How boring.
No, though, it ruins the whole thing. But that's what I mean. Like, it feels like they need a revamp. A lot of these shows need a revamp. And even especially,
they really need to just accept that this format is not conducive to keeping the same cast. I think this is a show where you can keep bringing, and, you know, that people can kind of cycle out. And I want them to be real. Like, I really appreciate like some real kind of connections where people have background. I think they keep trying to feed us these like, oh, they know some, like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying a lot of the, like, quote unquote, connections or previous friendships in some of these shows.
And that's what I think it is like, they're like saying people are in. But when I think of a revamp, I think take it, like you said, these people, like, nobody wants to see Kyle getting drunk anymore. The man's 40. Amanda, you know, isn't really bringing much to the table. It's great. Okay. Fertility issues. Okay, cool. I feel like that was probably stretched in the show just for TV. It feels like they need to bring all new folks in all together to start like conflict and drama, because that's really what you're watching for. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, Sam and what's his name? Corey are making out. Cool. But Corey, yeah. There needs to be more of what we saw in the beginning days of Summer House. And it's true. Like, some of the old characters are there, but, you know, it is what it is at this point.
Early 20-year-olds that are trying to figure it out in New York City and are going and have money and are going for the summer.
And that are hot messes. We need them to be a little bit of a hot mess and not have their lives together as much. That would be helpful for our TV
screens. And that kind of just is inherent in being in your early 20s.
Right. Exactly. So what else you got for us? What other news has dropped? What other...
I guess it's not a lot to talk about, but that's sort of the issue is I know with all these Bravo announcements, I really need my safe space Family Karma I need them to be renewed. What's the word I'm looking for? Like a palate cleanser on Bravo, where there's a little bit of drama, but nothing's crazy. Everyone kind of seems like they just have like a really good wholesome heart, and I like watching it after some of the other shows. I feel like, oh cool, I can still watch Bravo and not be like screaming at my TV for the next 45 minutes.
I think, too, the one thing that I personally really love about Family Karma is, for me, it's such a different culture, and getting to see all of their traditions and how they do things. Like last year, they had a lot of the wedding footage, and just seeing how they do weddings, like, is so cool, so different than anything I've ever known. And it kind of feels like you're bringing that into the culture and kind of breaking that barrier a little bit for folks who might not be familiar, and kind of teaching us something along with getting us to meet all these cool characters that I can't believe they wouldn't renew it. I can't believe, like, yeah. I feel like it hasn't had its fair share not to renew.
Yeah, and I think I kind of heard briefly that, so I was listening, Amrit was on the Mention It All podcast and kind of said that they actually haven't heard anything yet, but he does know that the production company does not like to film in the summer down in Miami because it's hurricane season. It's really, really hot. And if a hurricane comes in, that means people can't fly. That means they're losing a week of filming, production. And so it can get really pricey. So I'm hoping that maybe we get like a fall announcement and they'll maybe shoot in the winter is what I'm hoping for.
Interesting. Yeah. I would love it. Like you said, it's a palate cleanser. It's a breath of fresh air. I would hate to see that one go. And then this week also, they launched the new Bravo show about the ballroom dancers. I can't think of the name of it. Have you given that a watch yet?
No, I'm so good on that.
I know. I don't know if I can get into it. Although, I'm going to try to see what happens. I'm going to see if maybe I can. Maybe I'll give it a glance. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. I know there's been a lot of talk. I think Southern Hospitality 2 was announced that they're coming back for season 2. And I'm pretty sure that Southern Charm should be giving us a trailer any day now.
Yeah, it should be interesting. So, I've heard that there's quite a bit of drama behind the scenes there. As always, they're just so messy.
That's why it keeps coming back for more.
Vanderpump Rules, and that there's real friendships. This is why I think Vanderpump Rules works, like that format can continue to work where Summer House's format cannot. Like they are just
going out
on the weekends. I don't think they're maintaining those relationships throughout the year, except for maybe at events and stuff, where Vanderpump Rules, they're really friends. Southern Charm, they're really friends. And both groups are messy.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also, though, something about everyone not being friends that, you could create the messiness because there's no loyalties, really. I think we're getting to that place with Bravo that Bravo's seeing that a lot of these shows can't make it past the 5, 7, 10-year mark without kind of you figure Bravo really started 10 to 12 years ago. And, you know, can these really stand the test of time? So I think we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, from that, I think we should get into our Thursday night in LA.
Yes. So Jenna and I were so excited. I had to be in LA for a bachelorette party last weekend, and me and Jenna planned for us to get together just for a quick 24 hours before the bachelorette. And as we are such pop culture fans and Bravo fans, we obviously based our entire Thursday night around pop culture, Bravo, see what we could get. And it happened. It happened for us unexpectedly, unknowingly. Yeah. Yeah, Jen, you want to jump into it? Yeah. Give us a little background.
We start us off at the Beverly Hills Hotel, naturally. Yep. And, you know, they put us in a corner. We're feeling real, just not great about it at all. We're like, okay, this is already a bad foot. They put us in the back of the back. Like, we could not have been further.
And literally then shrubs were surrounding us. Like when you looked out, it was almost as if bushes were covering our faces so that we couldn't see any other part of the restaurant.
Yeah, so that was a little bit of a bummer. But then it's time. We're wrapped up. We pay our check. We're leaving. I'm talking to one of
our we should say that the whole goal of us going to the Polo Bar was we just wanted to see if we could spot a celeb. We follow Dumas. We know where the celebs hang. And this was our thought, like, hey, we'll go there. Maybe we could see a celeb. We walked in. We were trying to be casual. I was maybe not as casual, kind of scoping out the joint while Jenna was getting the table. I'm peeking around to see if there's anyone we might see. We don't see anyone. And again, like Jenna said, they throw us in the back with this like treat. It was a cute booth, which maybe they didn't put us back there as a joke because maybe they use that space to hide celebs in those bushes.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe we could take it that way. Like, we were so far set back that maybe they put folks back there to kind of hide them. Maybe we could, let's say it just to make us feel better.
Yeah, I think let's go with that. And then, so yeah, we're walking out of the restaurant and we quite literally, well, I guess Amy quite literally, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, but
literally
run into Lisa Vanderpump herself.
So what happens is, blow by blow, again, we're walking out of the restaurant. I'm scoping the place out, but trying to be casual, trying to be cute, pretend like I own the place. Like, everyone knows I stuck out like a sore thumb. And we're with our two other friends, and they're walking behind us. Our friend's boyfriend is also a Bravo-holic. So we were all on the same page. Dinner consisted of literally just Bravo talks and what's going on with Scandoval, all that. And we're walking out, and I'm the first to leave the restaurant. And I'm walking past the reservation desk, and I look up, and who's barging at me but LVP herself. And as she's walking towards me, I kind of step to the side instead of walk around her so that, like, we could all get a full look because I wanted us all to see. And I'm just smacking Jenna's arm like, Jen, do you see this? And she wasn't acknowledging me. So I didn't know if she knew what was going on. And then Ken Todd and the new Jiggy is behind them. And we're all just like, I'm like, Jen, she's like, as soon as you said, oh my God, I knew you saw. And I figured it was time for me that I could pass by then.
Yeah, Ken, Todd, and I could not have, I don't think I've ever made more direct eye contact with anyone in my entire life. It was a straight locked eyes. And I think, like, to me, he read it as like, oh, she's a fan. And I was like, okay, we gotta make her move. Eyes down, saw the dog. And we all turn around the corner. One of our friends, mind you, could not care less.
He's in PR. Cares.
One that lives in LA, he's in PR, like, literally just could not care less. But anyway, the three of us go around the corner and we just start, we're like, oh my god, it just happened. I can't believe this is happening. We're taking it as a good omen. And then we get into the rest of our night, and it went up from there.
It was like what a night. I just remember us turning the corner and I'm looking at all of you, and our friend's boyfriend's face was so red with excitement. I might have jumped up and down just because it was the end of the day. Yeah. We were walking out and I was like, okay, we were here to see a celeb. I mean, I wasn't thinking LVP. I didn't even like put that in my realm of celebs I might have wanted to see. I mean, let me be honest. Would I have wanted a Kardashian? Yes. I would have been happy with anyone. But then the queen herself comes strolling in the doors like she owned that place.
Oh,
her
my God,
skin flawless. The way you see it on TV, I feel like it was better even in person.
Yeah, her skin.
I couldn't stop staring.
I was impressed.
And the fact that they were carrying the dog, there was a part of me that thought that they did that stuff for TV.
I know. It was really priceless. But now I just really, I am so excited to talk about what happened next. And I should preface this with saying our friend, we didn't go completely out of our way for this in our defense.
We did not.
But our friend lives really close.
Oh, right, in our defense. Yep.
Yeah, to Schwartz and Sandy's. So, you know, we would have been remiss to not walk on over. And so we do.
100%.
And we go in, and none other but Brett, the GM, and Schwartz is there. The bar is, like, not super full.
That wasn't
I was, like, not impressed with the service.
Wait, it's was Brett? Is that in, the like, guy's name? That the guy's name, Brett, that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't realize.
Yeah, so service, so just like from my point of view, was really, and I really am not trying to knock them, but when you have people coming up to your bar, greet them. Like, look them in the eye. Hey, like, so happy that you came in. Here are some menus. I'll be right with you. Nothing. Literally nothing. And then when our drinks were empty, I felt like it just felt off. It was not great.
Also, the fact that, to me, okay, so when we got there, I would say most of the booths were full and there were people at the bar. To me, it's hard for me to understand like what they want out of this place, because when we got there, I'd say there was what, like 40 people there tops.
Yeah.
I wouldn't I didn't walk in and feel like, oh, this place is so packed. Mind you, it's a Thursday in LA. Like when we left the Beverly Hills Hotel, the Polo Bar, I felt like, okay, it's filling up. It's dinner time. We made an early reservation. Like I got that vibe. To me, I didn't walk in there and be like, oh, this place is popping. This is, you know, and I'm assuming they wanted to have more of a cocktail bar style, but yeah, I didn't get the vibe that they were you know, so into it. I feel like what was happening, the bartender seemed overwhelmed with the 10 people that were standing at the bar. And then Brett, the GM, I think was helping her make drinks. But between him and Schwartz, it just seemed like they were more worried about the little fangirls that were walking around. Like, it was, yeah, it was a lot. It was.
Yeah. Speaking of the fangirls. So that was something that I think, again, you know, you and I were two people at Schwartz and Sandy's, so we can't do too much bad mouthing, but right. I will say we stayed in our seats. Like, there was we did not throw ourselves at these guys in any shape, like,
no.
Way at all. And every single girl that walked,
oh my God,
there, swooning, like, even coming behind the bar, it was wild to watch. I even said, like, I think Schwartz and I made eye contact at one point, and I said something like, this is a lot, like, what? And yeah. I was like, how do you kind of do this all the time? And he basically said, like, if he's not feeling it, he won't come in, because when he does come in, he has to be on, especially given all of the, you know, scandal of it all.
I think his exact words were, because, you know, Tom went and had an affair and everything.
Yeah. And the handing out shots to everyone.
Every...
I was so concerned about their pour costs. As Amy knows, I was just like, they were pouring this, like, he grabbed this bottle of really expensive tequila and gave out two half shots for free. And I'm like, what are you doing? That's for a bar that claims to be kind of like struggling because of the whole scandal. Mm. I mean, give the ladies the well tequila if you're going to be giving shots out for free.
To me, it was so clear that the clientele there, to me, there wasn't anyone that lived there. There was not one person in that restaurant that lives in LA that wanted to be there because it's like their local hangout bar. To me, every single person there was, I didn't see a man there other than the guys.
The guy that sat next to us, that bartender from like next door.
Right. It was all women who got decked in the nines, yeah, and were having a ladies' night there. And I get it. Like, that's going to be their clientele. Their clientele is going to be Bravo fans who come there and want to interact and all of that. But the thirst traps, it was like, I was so afraid that if they even looked at us, that they would think for 1 second that that's what we came for. Like, we got our drinks. Did you try a cocktail? I didn't even try one of the cocktails.
No, I didn't try. I just had with my tequila soda and coffee.
Yeah. And the menu was, you know, the menu was fine. Maybe we should have tried a cocktail to have a better representation of this. But yeah. To me, overall, it just seemed like it was women who were dying to get selfies and to talk to these guys.
Selfies.
So creepy. Then out of nowhere, Jax and Max show up. Jax shows up, and that was hysterical. Mind you, this is a Thursday night. It was probably like 10 p.m. when he got there. Yo, homie, where is your family at? What are you doing?
I will say they were definitely taller in person than I thought.
Okay. And that's something me and Jenna should talk about, because afterwards we had a conversation about it. We get it. These men were probably, they all were over six. They were like 6'2 to 6'4, I'd say, including Max, who on TV, I would have never been like, oh, he's so hot. In real life, very good to look at.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah. There was a lot of also trips to the bathroom. I mean, if we're just going to make accusations, allegedly.
Yeah,
these men were going to the bathroom quite often. Not sure why, but I think we all know. Yeah, it was interesting to see. It really was interesting. But overall, I feel like it was cool to see. Schwartz ended up giving us two shots. He talked to us for a few minutes. You know, he had shoes on. They were not slides. I think that's to be noted.
Yeah, I love that. Yes.
Yeah, he had shoes on. And, you know, I think it was a good experience just, you know, for what we wanted.
Yeah.
But really bizarre to see these women throwing themselves at these guys.
Yeah.
Like, nonstop.
I've been to LA like 1,000 times at this point, and never once had I had a night like that. So I am just taking the VPR overload as like a really good omen for you and I and our dreams for this podcast to really just explode.
So with that, I think we should get into the episode, right? Anything else we missed from that?
Yep.
It was a very interesting night. Interesting night.
So this episode is a journey. And I think I've said this probably several times about how like I'm watching this by myself, and it's awful to watch this by yourself 3 hours after most of your friends have already watched it. And I'm in bed with my partner, and I'm like literally slamming his back, and I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, why is this? And he's like, yo, I got to get up at 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, I know, but I just want to. It like really
again, so
causes like it brings out a visceral reaction when you're watching it.
Yeah. And opening again with an iconic Ken Todd scene. Ken Todd, I want more Ken Todd. When I talk about my favorite Bravo Lebs, I should have said Ken Todd because he's definitely up there for me. And they're setting the scene up for what Something About Her is going to be. And there hasn't been many updates on Something About Her. I want to know more. I feel like they could be making so much money right now if this sandwich shop was open.
Yeah, I kind of wonder, could it have something to do with the liquor license? Like, I know in San Francisco really will make you jump through so many hoops to, like, we're in the middle of a kind of a transition right now, and the hoops for getting, all of the holdup has basically been about the liquor license. So I'm wondering if that could maybe even play a role into it. I don't know for sure. I don't know how it works in LA. But I don't know what reason there would really be at this point other than something.
Couldn't they get
permits? It has to be permits or liquor license from the city. And because I do think if it was up to them, it would be open. But unfortunately, when it comes to permits and zoning and the license, it's just not. It's really on the city. And I should note too, post-pandemic, the backlog for these kinds of things has been insane.
I feel like in my head I'm like, well, Lisa Vanderpump could just come in and like pull a few strings. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, come on, get this thing together already.
Honestly,
if
she is closing Pump, which it sounds like she is, she could sell that liquor license.
Transfer the license.
Ariana and Katie and get this thing moving.
There's another part of me that's like, can't they just open the sandwich shop now and get the liquor license later?
I guess it would depend on the zoning because you have to have specific zoning for every single thing that you're doing. It's like I'm kind of in the process. I should note, like, I'm kind of in the process of the early stages of potentially opening a bar with someone out here, and kind of similar, kind of a small, not a sandwich shop, but small scale menu, and just like going. We just met with someone today actually and discussed some of it, and it's honestly daunting. Like, I feel like, is this even plausible?
Well, maybe that's how they'll open next season, is by showing us all the hard work that was put in and opening Something About Her. I mean, the fact that they have merch already, that's a good one. They've then moved us over to Rachel and Charlie. Oh my God, shopping. That episode, that segment where the two of them were talking at the same time, to me, it was just like one blended sound together of like, oh my God, this is so cool. I love doing this with you. This is like, la la. I wanted to like poke my eyes out. It's the epitome of what you think Valley Girls sound like. And if my eyes were shut, I wouldn't know who was talking.
Yeah. And isn't Charlie from Jersey? I'm like, how did she adapt to this?
Is she really?
No, she's from Vegas.
That makes more sense. Interesting. Okay. And there was a line there that Rachel Raquel said that they both agreed on, talking about James. Like, doesn't Allie see him as her current boyfriend? I thought that was that line made me laugh. Like, Allie sees James as her current boyfriend, and James sees Allie as his like future wife.
Charlie and her.
I'm sure your girlfriend doesn't feel the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. That was funny, but I am happy that James and Allie are still going strong.
Me too. I don't think it'll last. I hope it doesn't last. I just think she's too smart for James, to be honest. Like, to me, James still has those insecurities he needs to work through. It's why he brings some of these one-liners. I mean, they're funny to all of us, but 100% they're just him working through his insecurities. And this is where she buys the lightning bolt necklace. Dun, dun, dun. She buys the lightning bolt necklace here.
And I thought
mofo necklace was... No, that necklace was $800. How dumb.
I also thought we were under the assumption that Sandoval bought it for her, according to Reddit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Like, I don't know if I...
There was a whole thing
maybe
on Reddit.
Maybe he Venmo'd her the $800.
I think it was like, and then like Reddit. I don't know. Both of them a little bit. Where it would apparently was a gift from Sandoval. Her birthday's right. Yeah. In September. And it was sort of supposed to be like their sort of like secret little connection.
God. Maybe he Venmo'd her the $800.
That's what I was kind of wondering. And I was like, how did this rumor even get started? In the Demois post, it like the item. It was from one of Raquel's friends.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Maybe she did, or maybe this was like set up for the scene, you know? Like maybe this was like, oh, buy, you know, maybe she went back to buy it. You never know.
Yeah.
And then we cut to that scene was pretty, you know, is wow. what it is. You're getting more insight into what's going to come. I wonder if they would have kept that scene in at all if it wasn't edited. Yeah. And then we go back to the Toms. Like this storyline of the two Toms trying to get the restaurant open to me is the most boring. All it is Tom Sandoval whining and Tom Schwartz acting like a doofus and like, yeah, we got to get it open. Yeah, cool. Yeah. And then they start talking about Ariana.
Yeah, they're just sort of like, we can't open because the line cooks. And people are like, just open it without food. You actually can't do that. That's illegal.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting.
If you have a liquor license for a bar, restaurant, or even a tavern, you have to have a percentage of your sales be food for you to even have your doors open.
Okay, so maybe they were actually really having problems. Either way, to me, though,
it's boring.
Oh, who cares? And then this is where we have these iconic conversations about Tom talking about the batteries in the drawer. The pens in the drawer, the batteries in the drawer. Like this man deep down believes that this is his contribution to their relationship is having pens and batteries in the drawer. And because of that, she should always agree with everything he says. Like I can count on how many times Ariana says I'm right, bro. Oh my God.
And also, how often are people buying batteries? I don't even know the last time I bought batteries.
More importantly, what are you putting batteries in? For real, it's 2023.
Also, TV the other thing is, on his podcast, or in the Howie Mandel podcast, he said that he has an assistant to do all these things. So he's not even doing them. He's basically making a list for his assistant and then throwing that in Ariana's face. So basically you want Ariana to make the list? Great.
To me, this is all of him trying to rationalize what we're going to see or why he was going to do the breakup or how he was going to break up with her or plant the seed for cracks in their relationship. That's all this is. And this is his cracks in the relationship is that she doesn't agree with you and that she doesn't supply pens and batteries to the drawer. Okay. All right. If that's your reason, then Tom, sounds good. Sounds like a reason to cheat on her best friend for months and months and have an alleged affair. Like, give me a break.
I know.
He is bringing these issues on camera. I feel like it just seems so calculated.
Oh, it's so part of the plan.
And that we didn't even take pictures at Sheena's wedding. I
never heard that.
I can't tell you how many events I go to and I forget to take a picture with my husband just because you get there, you're with all your friends, you're doing your thing. Like I used to say, it's great if you go out and you don't talk to your person. You're with your person all the time. You can't go out and not have a picture with them or not have a conversation with them the whole night and then come back. Like there's nothing wrong with that.
No, you think, I mean, Kyle and I, we have like no photos together. I mean, I just am right. So bad with photos in general, but yeah. This whole line, I was like, this is so stupid. You were just really just not, I don't know. I think from there, let's just get into the whole conversation with Ariana and Tom, that conversation on the couch. She has said this has been a common thread throughout the entire series that she's been in it, or the entire time she's been in it. Quality time. That is her love language. She needs it.
Yep.
And then they start kind of talking about it. And Tom's like, basically wants her to just be like, taking mushrooms on a Wednesday. And it's like, we have stuff to do. Like as one who loves a good, you know, mushroom trip, I cannot do that anymore. I am in my 30s. There's anxiety that comes with that. It wipes out basically your entire next day. Like you have to really a lot for that kind of time. Fine. Go take a weekend away, go to Joshua Tree and do what you got to do. But don't expect her to be doing mushrooms with you on a regular basis just because you are constantly looking for a high.
And that's what it seems like. It seems like all he wants to do is go out, get drunk, has these like him even saying like, I just want to do, like he has these fantasies of what quality time in a relationship looks like. And like, he'll just gaslight her to anything she wants. I mean, the iconic line of the Love Island reference of like, you don't want to watch 50 episodes of Love Island with me. And it's true. This literally Love Island as a Love Island lover, it consumes your time. But you also talk about it with your friends, just like we talk about Bravo. There's things that you can do, even if it is she is saying to me, she was asking for the bare minimum. All I'm asking for, if you want me to be intimate with you, like he said, he brought up sex. I can't, you know, we only have sex a few times a year. If my partner brought that up on TV, he would get immediate backhand. How? I know they're supposed to talk about their lives and this and that, but to me, this is literally Tom setting things up. My husband said at the end of this, he said, okay, stop giving us blue balls. Cause that's exactly what this conversation was. It was giving us blue balls, telling us, hey, this is what you're going to see soon.
Yeah. This whole
conversation and then it gets into just
really, I don't know. I just
screaming.
It seems like Tom, I mean, I know he says that he's like yelling at Katie all the time, like take some accountability. It's like, this is really the kettle black, what's it saying?
Pot calling the kettle black. Yeah, and then it gets into, I mean, for me, this was interesting, and I know this is, I'm about to say something stupid, but it was James practicing DJing, and I guess I never thought that as a DJ you practice.
Yeah, I
mean, and watching that scene with him,
yeah,
like watching that scene with him made me laugh so hard. Like, oh, he's practicing. And him wanting to bring Allie to meet Lisa because he wants to get invites to Villa Rosa, like completely fair. Absolutely loved how Allie suggested therapy to James. You know how I feel about therapy. You know how I feel about my therapist. Everyone should be going. And this is where I feel like Allie's much smarter than Raquel in terms of like putting up with James's bullshit.
Oh, they don't even, they're like, it's like comparing apples to oranges. It's those right. Two could not be more different. I think when we first got introduced to Allie, we were really just like, I felt like because she was like cute and tiny that we were, and like younger, yeah, we were just kind of expecting a second round of Raquel, and she is over delivering, I must say.
She is. She's coming. Absolutely. And then we move right over to this Tom and Tom conversation in Tom Schwartz's disgusting apartment. Disgusting. I couldn't even. And then they bring up Bravo and Cocktails, one of our favorite follows. They bring up Bravo and Cocktails and, oh, this is saying it. And really, like, watching them smirk, you know Tom Schwartz no longer. I think my favorite thing about the trailer that we see is Lala going, oh, did you guys not line up your timelines correctly? Because this scene, you can see it all over their face. Sandoval smirking. Schwartz is like, thinks he's probably being so funny. It's insane. It's so freaking shitty that Schwartz has been covering this whole time. And now he's trying to play coy, you know?
I have a question. Do you think that Schwartz is a little bit like in some of these scenes when he's, you know, the comment that he made at the at that glamping trip about like Raquel only being into married men and then bringing on screen. Mm-hmm. You think there's like a little part of him that really just kind of resents this whole, the position that he's been put in and is sort of not, I don't know, I guess like having fun with it might not be the right word, but I don't know, like kind of acting out.
I think he's kind of being a dick. I don't think he's smart enough to act out. I think it's him. Like, to me, it's the exact opposite of that. To me, it's him fucking with Sandoval, which makes me think he's slimy. You know, like to me, I
feel like there's a little bit of, because you don't even have to, like, all intelligence aside, like when you're acting out, you're sort of, it's like, it's just happening.
From
like,
something.
You're not even really controlling. You're just responding to how you're feeling. But yeah, I think maybe a little bit of both could be at play here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I would be pissed if one of my friends put me in this position.
And maybe that's what it is. Like maybe.
Especially because he is still like, you know, aside from the optics of it all, I think he does actually cherish a relationship with Katie, and he's getting these text messages from her and like having to answer to her and come up with excuses. And that would be super frustrating.
See, I feel like to say that he cherishes a relationship with Katie, to me, he's done nothing to show that. No, other than be hasn't. The person she divorced.
No, he hasn't like, done anything to show that.
Yeah.
I just do think deep down it is something. Whether he's acting to that me, way it's or just, not, I do think it's something that he kind of really does at his core care about.
But I think it's because he doesn't know any better. Like, that's his comfort zone. But he you know, like, that's where it's coming from. That's his comfort zone. So that's what it is.
Yeah. I guess we'll see at the reunion sort of how it plays out.
Ooh.
Reunion. From what I've sort of seen, I do think that there's certainly a crack in the Schwartz-Sandoval foundation.
Oh, I mean, that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting to see. But when we talk about soft spots, to me,
the night that we were
to me, Schwartz is No, to me, Schwartz's soft spot, when we talk about soft spots and things that people cherish, to me, it's always been so blatantly obvious that Schwartz cherishes Sandoval's relationship. Like, he went against his own wife so many times. The fact that Katie put up with it for that long shocks me, because that would never, ever fly in my marriage.
No, totally. But I do, going off of what I was saying, so even that night that we were there at Schwartz and Sandy's, someone did write in to Demois basically saying mm-hmm. that is like the reason I think that there's a crack in that foundation is because someone wrote in saying that Jax was saying that on Thursday night.
Oh, so really?
Like some real, you know, they're not really communicating right now.
I mean, good. And Tom saying like, this is my livelihood. Maybe we'll see it. But part of me is just like, do I believe Tom Schwartz that he's not just playing into this and playing a little bit of a victim like he loves to do? Yeah, we have so much. There's so much more to cover.
Yeah,
we get into them all bringing. Now we're moving on to the first of the something about her little prep sandwich event, where these beautiful wrap sandwiches. I was obsessed with Ariana's outfit. Loved that.
I know,
that.
Me too.
So obsessed. And you know what I wrote in my notes is that Tom is still calling Ariana dumpling. When he walks in there, he goes right up to her. He gives her a big old kiss. I'm like, is this for the cameras? He calls her dumpling, their pet name. And then Ariana saying to him, I'm going to get wild with you tonight. I'm going to get crazy. I want to get drunk with you tonight. Like, this is what I want to do. Like, her just like saying, I'll take one for the team because I want to spend time with you. And I know it's important and I want things to get back on track. Mm-hmm. Heartbreaking to watch. I feel like that whole, it was. And then when they move over to Sir, I think this is where things get nuts. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is there anything else you want to cover from that the sandwich shop opening?
All I'm thinking about right now is like, I'm looking at my notes. I'm like, I just can't. I like can and cannot wait to just talk about this. Ariana. Well, hold on. The Rachel and Katie dynamic or situation that was happening there. And then the conversation between Ariana and Rachel that was just, got right.
Before we get into that, there was a scene when Tom goes up to Terry and they have that conversation about still being family. And Katie was crying because she still wants to have a friendship with Tom. To me, that's where I can see Tom cherishing that relationship. I feel like that was sweet just as they, you know, are figuring it out. But yeah, them, Raquel and Ariana, I was screaming at my TV. Screaming.
I mean, this was so inappropriate.
Inappropriate. How? And I remember Lala saying on Watch What Happens that when you get to the finale and you see this conversation between Ariana and Raquel, it's going to blow your mind. And it sure as hell did. There's so much to say.
They're getting someone to kind of, like, it's such a vulnerable conversation to mm-hmm. have a conversation about, like, your partner and, like, your sex life and, you know,
dry spells.
All over our struggle with this or are struggling with this. And then for Ariana to really kind of bring it back to her self-esteem and Raquel mm-hmm. continuing to like look her in the eye. And then, I don't know, the whole thing was just so
that piece.
Hard to watch. And it just made you think, how can a human being who is sleeping with her friend's partner of 9 years be having this conversation? Like, my whole thing, and even with the Katie, we'll get into the Katie thing in a second, but wouldn't you just want to be flying under the radar? Like, let's keep it moving.
This is the part that blew my mind. Ariana's talking about her self-esteem, how she beats herself up, and Raquel starts crying and saying, like, I can relate to that. Like, oh, Raquel starts crying because of Ariana crying and saying, like, she beats herself up. And then they're talking about sex and saying, like, it can't, like, her saying, like, they can't be having good sex because she doesn't want to have sex with him and all of that. I wrote in my notes, she has such a punchable face. It's going to be, I can't wait to see how the reunion goes down.
I cannot wait. Yeah, this conversation was super cringe. I mean, did you catch the part where, I don't know if I'm just reading into it, but at one point she says something like, sometimes me and Sandoval have dry spells. Like,
oh yeah, I saw that on the blogs too. But I feel like she was saying it in, like, not third person, but talking as if she were Ariana. Yeah. To me, I was like, okay, they're kind of reaching with that one. But that, I mean, overall, just in general, the fact her saying, like, do you want to still work on it? I was just watching her face when they said, do you want to still work on it? What do you want her to say?
I know. I mean, she wants him to say no. I wonder, too, is she trying, is she just kind of at a, you know, she's obviously listening to and taking Sandoval's directions at this point on how to act, how to be.
Yeah.
And I do wonder, is he telling her like, yeah, we're like going to break up. It's not going well. And is this a moment where she's like, I'm going to find this out for myself?
That's so crazy manipulative that you would do that on camera. Just like you said, fly under the radar. And to me, I'm wondering if production knew, then holy cow, how smart for them to do this. Because they could have literally, they could have had Katie have this conversation with her. They could have maybe had Sheena had this conversation with her. But they picked Raquel. And it's like, why didn't they have Lala have this conversation with her? It's interesting.
Yeah.
What did production know?
I think Lala and Ariana are not. So I think that would have been a weird choice. But like Sheena even.
It could have been. It's interesting.
Yeah.
And then we get into Raquel putting her foot in the mouth somewhere else.
I can't do this. Like
I know.
I know the obviously the conversation between Ariana and Raquel was so freaking cringe. But this whole Katie thing, like why? Why are
leave
you talking?
Leave her alone. Why are you, you know, you obviously know some of these situations are set up by production. To me, okay, for the first 10 seconds of this, I was like, okay, she's gonna apologize. Every time Raquel has gone to apologize to someone, she says 5 seconds of an apology and then says, but changes the whole thing and turns it on the person. She always goes back. Like, why?
She's
trying to stand up for Schwartz, to his ex-wife. You're trying to stand up for him. Like, oh, I heard you did. What did she say? I heard you. I don't appreciate that you're talking about the dogs.
We don't care.
Are you insane to even bring that up? I would have already walked away or thrown something at her at that point.
Yeah. I don't know how. I think at this point, Katie was definitely seeing red.
Oh, for sure.
But the comment, yeah, not appreciating your rage text. Like, this whole thing was super bizarre. Like, you and Schwartz are not even that close. Why are you even doing this? This is his ex-wife. Like, shut up. This is not your, it's just, it's none of her business. That's the thing. Like, this is none of her business. You don't even like Schwartz. Schwartz does not like you in that way. Fuck, excuse my language, but fuck off.
Seriously. And then Lala screaming, like, why are you entertaining this? To me, yes. Why are you having this conversation with this?
She was at the end. Like, right. I think Katie was like, I am going to snap this bitch.
And of course, then comes Sandoval chiming in.
If she wanted to. Like, I think it was just like, all right, you like, this, I have to unleash here. This is insane. Like, this girl, like, I feel like she was starting to feel a little crazy. Like, am I the only one in this room that thinks that this is so insane that she's talking to me about this? This is insane.
I honestly, and then of course, Tom Sandoval chimes in.
Of course.
Dude, stay in your lane. Again, another person who, if you're really trying to be slick about this, fly under the radar, homeboy. Fly under the radar. Why are you doing this? And then to be yelling at Katie's mom.
How about the way Raquel was talking back to Katie's mom?
If that's where my fist would have been in her mouth.
Can you imagine talking to someone's parent like that?
And if someone talked to my parent like that?
No.
I would have, she was... Raquel was way too comfortable being that close to Katie. Way too comfortable. In Philly, we know that would have never, ever flown. No. And then we get into, I mean, for me in this episode, Schwartz hiding in the corner instead of being there. I don't think there's anything more unattractive. Everything that could have been summed up in why Katie divorced Tom and why Katie would come out on top and why Katie has acted the way she did and why people think everybody has an opinion that Katie is just has a bad attitude, isn't a good person. Look at what she's had to dealt with for the last 12 years. She's had to deal with a man who stands in a corner when she's getting confronted on all different angles. He doesn't have her back. He's not going to bat for her. And there is nothing more unattractive.
Yeah. Actually, so one of my friends just started it from, she was like, I sent her the thing that Peacock put out about like the ketchup. And then she was like, all right, well now I'm in, I'm just going to watch it from the beginning. And she already, which I thought was interesting. I mean, she probably has heard some of the stuff, but mostly about Sandoval. And she is like, I cannot stand Schwartz. Like he is so, He never sticks up for her. If my husband's two friends were bashing me at a table, he would not let that fly. I think she's on season two, and I don't know exactly what scene she's talking about, but it just, again, you're so right. Like, this scene was a perfect depiction of why that marriage dissolved.
And it's so unfair because Katie's been getting the, like, oh, all you do is complain about him. All you do is this, all you do that. Yeah, because she's been asking the same thing from her partner for years and years in hopes that it would change. Him standing in the corner, barf, so unattractive.
Yeah.
And then we get into Ariana crying with Lisa, heartbreaking. And as much shit as I've talked on Christina Kelly, she came through with this line. She came through with the line, why are you worried about this? Look at your girlfriend who's crying over there. Like, go over there and comfort the person you need to.
I think she even said verbatim, this is your relationship. Go to that.
Mind your business. Mind your business. Then we bring it to the alley.
Ugh, back to the Sir alley.
And this girl, the balls on her. That's why I feel like there has to be something that we don't know about her, because the balls to walk back there and try to have a conversation with an ex-wife and an ex-husband. What are you doing?
Yeah, the total lack of empathy is sort of something that I'm like, I do sort of wonder if something else may be happening that we're just not privy to.
And Schwartz sitting there saying, like, when Katie says, like, leave, and him saying, like, she's trying to apologize to you. I don't know who I would punch first. I don't know who I would punch first, really.
I hated him for that. I was like, I feel like that scene right there, I guess, almost, like, goes against everything what I was just saying about, like, at his core, he cares about that relationship, because this did not display that behavior. I mean, this behavior was not displaying that at all.
But that's what I feel like.
Lost. I mean, I think Katie does eventually just, like, walk back inside, right?
Yep. And she gave her, again, I don't need an apologize from her. That's what she said. She said, he's like, she tried to apologize. She's like, I don't need an apology from her. There's been 12 years of us doing this. I need an apology from you. And there we were.
Very much like one of those moments. And I'm sure, you know, you've had them. I've had them. We've all had them. But where you're so frustrated that you, like, almost start laughing and, like, you don't even know with the word, like, the next words coming out of your mouth, you're just, like, at a breaking point. You're like, no one is seeing me right now, and I am so frustrated.
And that, to me, made me so frustrated watching it as a viewer. Was it was like talking to Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Nothing was happening, and all it does is make her look crazy. It's literally the epitome of gaslighting. It was
the other wild thing I have on my little notes here is, you know, as much as I love Ariana, and I do sort of have a hard time, or maybe they're just not showing it in the show, but I have a hard time understanding how Ariana doesn't sort of really see Katie's side in all of this.
And how she can just blindly stick up for Raquel.
I guess that agreed. I'm a little shocked by that, because I would almost think Ariana would maybe be willing to have that conversation with Raquel. Like, hey, like, you know, this isn't cool. I mean, Charlie did it.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, you know, this is not cool behavior. Like, I think it would make the most sense for you to step back and not, you know, really keep poking the bear. It's just Katie and you had you and Katie had that conversation at wine. It could have been so much better. And it just sort of seems like you continue to antagonize. And I am curious why.
I think that's a really good point, because I feel like even in seasons past, we've seen Ariana, how she'll go to bat for her friends, but sometimes it's almost blindly. In a real world, I can't see what Raquel and Ariana have in common, but they've become quote unquote friends. And I think Ariana's loyal, but sometimes you have to figure where your loyalty lies. Yeah. And husbands are involved and relationships are involved. It doesn't matter. At some points, you have to pick a side.
Yeah, I almost feel like their whole relationship is, like, almost based off of, like, doing the festival circuit together. Honestly, they're like, you can wear glitter and
that's what I'm saying. You have friends you party with.
And
but that's what I mean.
Together, and then that's sort of our relationship.
Those are your party friends, and then you have your real friends, right? Yeah. Like, that's what I've known as I've gotten older. And your party friends, you shouldn't be going to bat for with friends that you're going into business with and you trust in that way.
I couldn't agree more. That's why I think I found it so interesting that she didn't speak up a little bit more on behalf of Katie.
I'm excited to see what we see of Katie and Ariana and how their friendship's going to change, because it's definitely going to change next season. And I think it's going to be awesome to see. I really...
Especially because no two people on the show, I think ever, have gone through something almost not identical, but just like kind of dealing with the same... I guess, like, antagonists in this, like, story.
Yep.
They're both kind of dealing with the Raquel. They're going through these breakups of really long-term relationships. Granted, Katie wasn't cheated on by her partner with one of her best friends. But still, the girl has been a headache for Katie for a long time now. And then on top of that, watching the boys try this business together, and now kind of taking this journey for themselves to open a business. Like, there's kind of a lot of parallels, and I just think that their friendship is going to get really, really, like, deep and close, and I'm excited to see where that goes.
And I wonder how this is going to affect Ariana's other friendships, because there's a lot of people involved at this point. When you've been together that long, you know, not everybody might not take sides. I mean, it seems almost impossible for that, but I think it's going to be interesting to see.
What do you think about... Do you think that Raquel... I don't think Raquel's coming back.
I would love for her to come back simply for my TV screen.
I don't think she's coming back.
She also, again, would have to have the biggest, biggest balls to come back. I don't think she knows not to.
Yeah, and Sandoval, I mean, he can't live without the attention.
The fame, so no.
That's sort of a no-brainer. He's obviously going to come back. But I am curious how they're going to really shoot those scenes and who he's going to... Like, what is it going to be? Schwartz and Sandoval and then everyone else?
Those
two are not interesting enough to carry their own scene show.
But to me, Tom Sandoval, it doesn't have enough self-respect to not want to be shot with everybody. Like, I think he would walk into a room where he's hated and just be like, yeah, this is awesome, like, cool, and soak it all up and, like, take people one by one and try to defend himself over and over again. Like, I don't think he would shy away from that, which is insane, but I really don't think he would. And I think he will defend all of his actions to the death.
Yeah, I am so curious to see. We have the nice thing is, guess what? We have another month of this.
Yay! My friend in Philly went to the show, Tom Sandoval's show, and said, because I said, like, give me some inside scoop. She said it was sold out. Many groupies. She said, honestly, he put on a great performance. It was like going to see a cover band at the Shore. She said his set list was awesome. And then he took a lot of pictures with folks. Some inside scoop. As we close out, of course, there was Lisa's ending speech with some tears kind of over that piece. Could have done without it. Again, if we didn't have all of this information, I think this season kind of would have been a dud again.
Yeah. Although I guess I was most curious to see all this, like, the post-divorce era of Katie. I really like getting to see.
Yeah. Light. I hope they bring more of that as she continues to date. And I mean, Ariana, we know. So before we close out, most cringe moment of the episode.
I think it was the way that Raquel was speaking. I mean, obviously, I don't even want to say the most obvious of them. So I'm going to say the way that Raquel was talking to Katie's mom.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just to be different, I think my cringe moment of the episode was them panning back to Schwartz in the corner with his arms folded, like peeking through the bushes. Wimp. Just to be different. Favorite line of the episode?
Favorite line? Oh, I don't know about my favorite line.
My favorite line was James saying that he wants Allie to meet Lisa so we can get a few invites to Villa Rosa.
I know. I did love that. That was so good. I don't know if I have a favorite line, but I did think just a favorite, like, bonding moment.
Okay.
And I would say just kind of overall, just the bonding between any scene with Katie and Ariana I really like, especially in the beginning when they're cleaning the something about her. I just love that dynamic.
I liked that. There was also a scene for me where Lala was talking to Lisa about having a baby in the future. I feel like it's unfortunate that we didn't get to see a lot of Lala this season. I'm hoping that we get to see more of her next season. As we think about things that are coming up over the next week, we have a lot of TV to watch this week. The Hulu special on Randall Emmett dropped. That's going to be exciting. Next week, we're going to have a lot to talk about next week. So looking forward to that. Thank you all for joining us again this week. We have a lot coming up. We're just getting into the finale as well as all of the reunions that are happening. So stay tuned. Thank you for joining us. And at some point, we'll have a cool catchphrase to close us out. But for now, thanks again.
Thank you.